Okay, the next presentation is from Yunsu Park, Examining Longitudinal Patterns of Recovery, a Growth Mixture Modeling Approach Using Posterior Mode Estimation. Yunsu Park is a PhD candidate in measurement and statistics at Columbia University. He is also a data manager and analyst at the National Center for Disaster Preparedness at Columbia University School of Public Health.
Hello, good morning. So this work is in collaboration with two other colleagues at Columbia, Tasha Stalinger-Ritza and David Abramson. The context of this study was from when we were trying to look at longitudinal changes of people that are trying to recover from a disaster. We saw many different trajectories of how people's depression or mental health scores changed. And I think this approach is one application where we could try to classify individuals into different latent subgroups where we could make better implications for those people and classify to those groups. So no relationships to disclose, and begin with some background again. And begin by stating that in most longitudinal analyses, people assume that the population is somewhat homogeneous, and so we do have one estimate for growth or for change. And of course, there's many papers that's also looked at population heterogeneity, and I think in cases where we're looking at disaster research, that is also very much true because you have individuals that can recover much quicker than others, and there's also individuals that, you know, are more vulnerable for other shocks that can happen. And I think in the literature, there's been a lot of theory about how people recover from disasters. I think here is just some example. We have, you know, individuals that could be more resistant, resilient, chronologically dysfunctional, and here is an example of what I mean. So if here, if you look at the y-axis would be something like a psychological distress, and you know, you have pre-disaster, time point 1, 2, and 3, somebody that's resistant, their change would be flat, so there would be no change because they are so much resistant. And then if you look at somebody else that's resilient, you know, before disaster, they'll be at a much lower point, but then following the disaster, their level of distress would rise up, but then they would go down because they're resilient to this type of shock. And then you have people that take much longer to recover, so you know, their level of diminishing effect for the disaster is much gradual. And then you could think of other people who, you know, just keeps going up, and then over some course of time will sort of plateau down. And so the question here is, if you have several measures of distress or psychological scores, how do you classify individuals into different groups? You know, you could try to do it discreetly, or you could use some type of a mixture growth curve model. And so that's the context of where this comes in from. When you look at a general mixture model, this is a latent class model that is documented in Vermont's paper. We have a density function, which is a function of the latent classes here. X is the latent class, Z is the covariate. And then you also have the density function of the responses, which is conditioned on the latent classes and the covariate. So it's basically a function of these two things. In other words, again, basically the density function is attributed by the classes, but then again, the density function is also affected by which subgroup it's classified as well as the covariate. So that's just the general model. Now, in the specific model that we're looking at here, which is for growth curve models, this is the model that people typically use. There are many other models also, but we looked at the quadratic model. And here, the z is the time, and the other z parameter here is the z variable is the time squared variable. So we squared the time so that you could get the quadratic effect. And then we added the random effects of random intercept, time, and then the last term here is the covariance terms. So, I mean, this is just a very straightforward, if you were to fit a growth mixture model, these are the typical models that are available in SASVS data. So the other things that we considered in this approach is, okay, so we're looking at a longitudinal model where we want to classify individuals into several latent subgroups. And when we try to fit it in maximum likelihood estimation approach, we saw many documentation that there are some boundary problems. Why do you see these boundary problems? Well, you know, the criteria that you classify these people are in terms of posterior probabilities. And so if the posterior probability is very much close to zero or very much close to one, then there is documentation that there's boundary problems. And so what people have come up with is a posterior mode estimation approach for these latent class models, which we try to implement for this study. So just to lay out the general idea of how this works is when you have a posterior probability that's really close to the boundaries, it penalizes for that, and so it smooths the estimation. That's just the basic idea, and we're doing this by adding a weight that's a Bayes constant, and by default, a lot of status packages also have these days. So that's just quickly the general idea. And you know, you could set different Bayes constants. You could set it 1, you could set it to 2, and you'll get different numbers, of course, but you have to be cautious of which numbers to use. So the goal of this study. So this study, we're trying to look at it again from that, how can we classify individuals into different groups of trajectories? And we're using the growth mixture model. We try to use the posterior mode estimation approach. And we do two things. First, we do an empirical analysis. We have data from people that have survived Hurricane Katrina, and we've collected data for 4 waves of their mental health scores. And then after that, we do a small, very small simulation study just to look at comparing maximum likelihood estimation with posterior mode, just to see if there's some bias in the recovery of the parameters. So this is just to briefly describe the empirical data. Basically, we were able to collect data from 1,079 households, and we surveyed the head of the household, what their mental health score was. And we have 4 waves of the data, and we used the SF-12 measure to get their mental health scores. If you were to assume some kind of population homogeneity here, and then put in any standard errors or anything like that, but the assumption is, you know, you have one linear change, or you can have a quadratic change, or you have a cubic type of a relationship, and that doesn't really tell you which different group an individual belongs to. So from here, our goal was to apply the latent approach, and again, if you have a linear type of a association, if you're using a linear model, you can have different trajectories, but we'll skip this, and I'll go to the quadratic, which is the more focus of the study. So when we fit the quadratic model, these are the fit indices, and of course, it tended to prefer more sort of the two-class model. If you look at the AIC and the BIC, it didn't change too much with the three-class model. There were slight differences, and when I talked to the substantive researchers at our center, they really liked the three-class model, so that's where we drove a lot of the inferences from. I mean, the AIC was differed by only 1 point, and the BIC also differed by about 50 points. But they thought the substantive implications were much more important when you apply a three-class model. So the empirical results show if you fit a two-class model, you have that kind of a trajectory, three-class model, 4, 5, and you know, if we're making the interpretation with a three-class model, here what you can see is this is the typical type of a trajectory for somebody that's very much resistant to the disaster, because this is year 1 right after the disaster, 2, 3, 4, and going all the way through the 4th wave, and they're pretty much flat, and this is the higher you are, the better in mental health you are, and here we put a red line at 42, which 42, which is just a clinical number that people use to diagnose people as, you should go see the doctor or not. And we've also seen that the trajectory that's to the second might be a group that's more resistant or resilient to the disaster because their mental health scores do fall below the red line, but then they sort of recover after a few years. And then we have the last group, which is the individuals that are much more, have low mental health scores and continue to do so even many years after the disaster. So this is just the mean and standard errors of the classification, just basically showing the same information graphically that was presented in the previous slide. Here, we added some demographic variables. Might not be able to see all the numbers, but just to highlight that, you know, age, things like income were, you know, there were significant differences by the three groups that we were able to find. And then there are also other psychological variables or sociology-related variables that came out significant, things like housing stability, neighborhood effects, sense of community, you know, family functioning, these types of variables also significantly affected which classifications they were grouped to. So that was, and so this is going now to the simulation part of the study, which is, you know, so we did use a posterior mode estimation technique. How much is the difference in the bias if we use a maximum likelihood estimation versus a posterior mode? So that was the general question that I wanted to answer here. In terms of using which population values to use, which I just used the same population values that we just took from the Katrina study. And when I fit that, I mean, the sample size was 1,000 and we have so many parameters. So I think that was the reason for some of the larger biased estimates. But these are the regression parameters. I just have the percent bias just to simplify the output. Here, the column on the left is the maximum likelihood. The right is the posterior mode. I mean, you see that the bias is slightly more if you for the posterior mode. But then on other cases, we have really large bias for certain parameters. And you can see that the population value is really close to zero. And perhaps that could be attributing to the estimation bias there. And for the random effects parameters also, we found sort of a similar result because for all the other parameters, they were fairly similar or the posterior mode was a little bit higher. But then for there was one parameter where the bias was very much higher for the maximum likelihood. So to summarize some of these results, I think empirically, substantively, I think this application would be a good one if researchers are interested in classifying individuals into latent subgroups, especially in terms of the disaster recovery research. They really like this idea. And in terms of estimation purposes, I think you know, we definitely need to do further studies on what posterior mode estimation would do in terms of latent classes, in terms of longitudinal analysis. And here we found that, I mean, we found many documentation that posterior mode is good and much more superior to latent class analysis, for latent class analysis due to boundary problems. But we did see some bias changes. And also for maximum likelihood, I think we have to do some further studies to really understand how this is affecting estimation using different conditions, different circumstances as well. Thank you.
Any questions? You need a package in R to do latent class analysis, do multivariate, univariate, something similar, for example, your mixed model, another base analysis. Do you use that package or you program it?
Actually, when we first did this, I just did something on, I just tried it really quickly on Winbugs, and then there's a program by Vermont, it's called Latent Gold, and the syntax is really flexible, allows a lot of really nice parameterization. So, it's called Latent Gold?
Latent Gold,
yes. And yes. Oh, okay. Yes. Yes. Oh, I should look into that. Thank you very much for that suggestion. definitely check it out.